Welcome back, everyone. Today we're going to be taking a deep dive into something that I think is fascinating and a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
But before we get into the content itself, I just wanted to mention for anyone who's new to the show that we do assume you have some background in theology in the Bible.
Right.
But we try to explain everything clearly enough that even if you're kind of newer to this topic, that you can follow along.
Yeah, we try to be accessible to everyone.
Exactly. So today we are going to be talking about a concept that comes from the writings of a man named Martin Zender. Have you heard of him?
I have, yes. He's got some very unique perspectives.
Yeah, he does. So he talks about this distinction between God's will and God's intention.
Yeah.
And that the distinction, I think, is something that a lot of people don't really think about.
Yeah, we tend to use those terms interchangeably, don't we?
We do, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to kind of unpack that and see what he has to say. Are you ready to dive in?
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
Okay. So first of all, how does he define God's will?
Well, he defines God's will as basically what God explicitly states that he wants. So like the Ten Commandments, for example.
Okay, yeah. So thou shalt not murder.
Exactly.
That's pretty clear.
That's a clear statement of God's will.
Right. So then how does that differ from God's intention?
Okay, so his intention is, like, his overarching plan, what he ultimately wants to accomplish, and that might be achieved through events or circumstances that that actually seem to contradict his stated will.
So you're saying that God might will one thing, but intend something else.
Exactly.
That's pretty mind-blowing.
It is. And Zender even goes back to the original Greek words to kind of bring out the distinction. You know, the lema is the word for will and bulema is the word for intention.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so he really highlights that distinction is there in the original language.
I see. So just for our listeners, maybe just to clarify. So the lema would be kind of like God's stated wish, and then bulema would be like his plan.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's helpful. So, Zender uses this analogy I thought was really interesting to kind of illustrate this idea.
Yeah, I remember this.
The parent and the cookie jar. So imagine you have a parent who tells their child, don't touch that cookie jar.
Right, a classic scenario.
But they leave it within reach.
Knowing, of course, that the child is probably going to be tempted to disobey.
Yeah, so the parent's stated will is don't eat the cookies.
Right.
But their intention might be to use that situation to teach the child a lesson about disobedience.
Exactly. So by seemingly contradicting their own command, they're actually setting up an opportunity for deeper learning for the child.
I see. That's a really good way to put it. So how does he apply this then to the crucifixion of Jesus?
Well, that's where it gets really interesting, because we have God's law, which clearly says thou shalt not murder, right?
Right, right.
But then in Acts chapter 4, verses 27 and 28, it talks about how God orchestrated the events leading up to Jesus's death.
Right. He used people like Herod and Pontius Pilate.
Yeah.
And they were acting against God's stated will when they condemned Jesus to death.
But it says that they did what God's hand and purpose had predestined to occur.
Wow. So their actions, even though they were, you know, they were going against what God had said, it was still part of God's intention. And his intention was the sacrifice of Jesus for humanity's redemption.
That's right. It's a very powerful example of how God can work through seemingly paradoxical means to accomplish his ultimate goals.
So God's will was, thou shalt not murder, but his intention was for Jesus to die on the cross.
Exactly. And it's hard to wrap our minds around that sometimes, but that's what Zender is trying to get us to see.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really powerful example.
Yeah, it's it really makes you think about, you know, God in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, how does this affect our view of his character then, if we accept this premise that he might be acting in a way?
Well, it suggests that he's operating on a level that we as humans can't fully comprehend.
Right.
You know, his wisdom and his complexity are just far beyond our understanding.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like that parent with the cookie jar, right?
Exactly. The parent's actions might seem contradictory, but ultimately they're motivated by love.
Right.
They want what's best for their child, and they understand that sometimes allowing for negative consequences can actually lead to growth.
So are you saying that God might allow us to go through difficult things, not as punishment, but as a way to help us grow?
That's exactly what Zender is suggesting.
Wow. That's a pretty radical idea.
It is. It's challenging, but it's also potentially very freeing.
How so?
Well, if we can view challenges not as random events or punishments from God, but as opportunities for learning and growth,
Yeah.
then it changes how we approach those challenges.
Right. Instead of being afraid or angry, we can try to see what God might be trying to teach us.
Exactly.
That's powerful. But what about free will then? I mean, if God is orchestrating events to fulfill his intention, does that mean that our choices are predetermined?
That's the big question, isn't it? The question of free will versus divine sovereignty.
Yeah, it's something that theologians have been debating for centuries.
Right, and Zender doesn't shy away from that tension.
But he does seem to lean pretty heavily towards the idea that God is in control.
He does. He cites verses like John 6.44, where it says that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And Romans 9.18, which says that God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden.
Right. Those verses do seem to suggest that even our choices are ultimately part of God's plan.
Yeah. And Zender uses this metaphor of a tapestry.
I like that.
Each thread represents our individual choices, but all those threads come together to create this beautiful design that only God can see from his perspective.
So even our mistakes, even our sins can be part of that design.
That's right. It's a bit mind-boggling, but it's also very comforting in a way.
Yeah. It's kind of like we're all part of this grand story.
Exactly. And God is the author.
And he knows how it's all going to end.
And he's using every event, every choice to bring about his ultimate purposes.
Even the things that we see as bad.
Even the things that we don't understand.
That's a lot to take in.
It is. But I think Zender's message is ultimately one of hope and trust.
Right. Trust in God's wisdom.
Even when his ways seem mysterious to us.
Even when we don't understand what he's doing.
Even then.
Okay. Yeah. So how does this idea of God's will versus his intention, how does that actually play out in our lives?
Well, I think it has huge implications for how we view suffering.
Okay, how so?
Well, if we see difficult situations not as punishments from God,
right,
but as opportunities for growth that he's using for our good, it changes our whole perspective.
Yeah, instead of asking, why me, you might ask.
What is God trying to teach me through this?
Right, or how can I grow from this experience?
Exactly, and it also changes how we see God's character.
Okay.
If we acknowledge that his ways are not always our ways.
Right.
And that his wisdom is far beyond our understanding. It requires a lot of humility on our part.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It makes you realize that we don't have all the answers.
That's right. We have to trust that even when we don't understand what he's doing, his intentions are still good.
And that can be really hard sometimes.
It can be, but it's also incredibly freeing.
How so?
Because it takes the pressure off of us to figure everything out. We can surrender our need for control and just rest in his sovereignty.
And that can also change how we pray.
Absolutely.
Instead of just coming to God with a list of requests,
right,
we can approach him with open hands.
Yeah, seeking his will above our own.
And trusting that he knows what's best for us.
Even if it's not what we would have chosen.
So closed door might actually be a redirection.
Exactly. God might be leading us down a path that we never would have considered on our own.
Wow. That's a lot to think about.
It is. But I think it's a message that we all need to hear.
Yeah. I agree. It's a challenge to surrender our limited understanding.
And to embrace the mystery of a God who works in ways that we can't always comprehend.
But ultimately, I think it leads to greater peace and trust.
Absolutely. And that's what Zender is inviting us to.
Yeah, to trust in God's goodness.
Even when we don't understand his methods.
Even when things are hard.
Even then. So as we wrap up this deep dive into God's will versus his intention, we're left with this question. If God's intentions are always for our ultimate good, how does that change the way we view the difficult things in our lives?
That's a great question for all of us to ponder.
It is. Yeah. And I hope it will encourage our listeners to continue exploring this topic.
And to deepen their relationship with God.
Who works in ways that are higher than our own.
Well, thank you for joining us on this fascinating deep dive. We hope you'll join us again next time for another thought-provoking exploration.